More and more people are going beyond cats and dogs when they look for pets and getting exotic reptiles, mammals, and other unusual animal companions. That could be contributing to the rise of invasive species we see around the country. That's according to a new report published last month in the journal Frontiers in Ecology and the Environment. Wisconsin has less restrictive laws for exotic pets than many other states, and some shelters around the state are trying to make sure those pets don't end up in the wild. Jamie Kozlowski runs a unique sanctuary organization for those animals. Jamie's the founder and director of Kingdom Animalia Exotic Animal Rescue in De Pere. Jamie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how common are exotic pets here in Wisconsin?
Exotic pets and the exotic pet market is actually booming, and it's becoming a lot more frequent in even our immediate area here. Wisconsin is one of the states that has the most relaxed exotic animal laws, and it's starting to become a problem because so many people are getting them. They realize how much work they are. They don't want them anymore. And there's really not a lot of resources or reliable resources. And so people don't know what to do with these, or sometimes they just don't care. And sometimes it's honestly an accident. These animals escape. They get out. It happens to the best of us. And these animals find themselves in unfamiliar territory around people in an area in a state that they're not from. And it can cause a lot of damage to people and the environment and the animals that we have here.
Can you give us a sense of the different types of animals we see being kept as pets and unfortunately released?
I've personally seen coming into my rescue anything from boa constrictors, parrots, African spurred tortoises, ball pythons, red-eared sliders. We've even had alligators come in. Again, people are getting these and they either don't know what they want to do with them when they no longer want them, or they have them outside in enclosures or in fenced in areas. They push fences open and things like that. But that's a lot of them that you're getting. Bearded dragons as well is a big one, because those are the types of animals that you would see at the pet store.
You mentioned the problems that can happen when these animals are released intentionally or unintentionally into the wild. I know some states, especially Florida, you keep hearing stories about these species actually going nuts, really taking over ecosystems. Is this something we worry about in Wisconsin with some species taking root and living here when they probably shouldn't?
It can happen because reptiles are so incredibly resilient. So if enough are released, and let's just say we have a few winters that are really mild, or they happen to find some place where they can shelter down, absolutely we could start to see problems with some of these animals. And if they don't become problems being invasive, the animal's likely going to die if it's released. It's not going to be able to find the right shelter and the food that it would normally find in nature. Heaven forbid it should hurt somebody while it's out and about as well.
Talking to Jamie Kozlowski, founder and director of the Kingdom Animalia Exotic Animal Rescue. Jamie, can you tell us about your organization and how you are trying to help solve this problem?
Absolutely. Kingdom Animalia Exotic Animal Rescue has been a dream of mine since I was very young, and our main goal is to educate. We want to make sure that we're teaching people, if you are going to get these animals, this is what you can expect. These are the types of things that you can do in your home to make this doable. And then if you no longer want them, here are some things that you can do with that animal that are proper. We talk about conservation and why these animals are important in nature, like the pollinators, which again is even really important to us here in our communities. And then we also talk about just some of the issues with overbreeding and what can happen when things, go south in terms of release.
So if I was thinking about getting some kind of exotic animal in my house, and I'm not, but if I was, I could give you a call and say, hey, I'm thinking of getting X. What should I think about before I make that decision and go ahead with it?
Absolutely. We're one of the resources that we have in the state. There are also other reptile groups, clubs, and shelters and rescues that you can contact, different sanctuaries. And, if one of us can't help you, absolutely, we can refer you to someone else. We, as an organization, not only do we focus on the education, but we also take in exotic animals. We also rehome the ones that are proper to be in a home, more of the pet store animals. And then if there's an animal, like, for example, we're the only rescue in the whole state who's taking in unwanted pet foxes, which are becoming more prevalent, especially with social media, glorifying them as pets and making them look cute when they spend the rest of the afternoon destroying everything you own. That's a problem, because when we're taking them in, then it's our job to go back and make sure that we're trying to correct those things. And we're actually working with some legislation changes right now, making sure that we correct that. But when we have an animal like that, we'll keep it on site, we'll educate with it, we'll talk about the reality of some of these situations, and then we'll also potentially look for other facilities that would be able to utilize those for the benefit of the long-term goal for these animals, which is to, if they're going to be kept, properly keep them, and then make sure that when there are releases and people irresponsibly keeping them, that we make sure we get a handle on that and that people have some accountability.
I could see somebody saying, okay, I've got a fox. There are foxes in Wisconsin. It's no big deal to release this fox into the wild. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is a lot of the foxes that you will see coming out of fox farms, of which Wisconsin has four running right now, they are oftentimes mixes between other things. They're not natural native foxes. But the other thing is that foxes are, they're cautious, but they're inquisitive and curious. And they might come up to my dog, Andre, because they love him. But let's just say they're up north and they run into a bear dog or something like that where it's not a friendly dog. Or let's just say they're used to people. They're going to run up to your child and want to play with them, and you're going to think it has rabies and it's sick and shoot it. They don't know what a car is. And so these animals are extremely confused when they get outside of the fence, and they are not necessarily equipped to take care of themselves. And heaven forbid they have some kind of a disease or worms or anything like that, where it would spread to our native animals here and, again, wreak havoc on the environment and the animals that we currently have.
I want to hear, Jamie, some more of your story. You mentioned that this has been, having a shelter like this, a rescue like this, has been a dream of yours since being a kid. How did you get there?
Oh my goodness. So we took a family trip to Florida when I was little, and for the first time I saw all these little lizards running around and I was just hooked. And I would read about them and read about them in my spare time. And eventually everyone was seeing I was savvy with them. And so I started to kind of take them in when people didn't want them. And because I was getting so many of them, I ended up having to start rehoming, which was the birth of my adoption program. Then because so many of them coming in were sick and injured due to improper care, people were not reading enough about them and the pet stores weren't quite getting the information out that was needed, I was seeing behavior issues and calcium deficiencies, broken bones, malnourishment, and all these things that we don't have to put these animals through. And so I started educating. And in 2006, that became my absolute goal and mission, was to educate, educate. So because I chose to do this then full time, after going to UWGB, studying biology, I worked a little bit with animal control with Green Bay PD. I was an intern at the new zoo, and then I was helping the wildlife sanctuary in Green Bay for the last 13 years as well to take in their exotics that get brought in there. So lots of different experiences brought me to this. So we decided then, 2012 we incorporated, 2013 we became a 501c3 nonprofit, 2014 we got our first public building. We're currently operating in Suring, but in the next year, year and a half, we're hoping to have our funding in line so that we can create and build our brand new and permanent facility that will be community-based, lots of education, as well as lifelike enclosures for these animals.
I want to end with some messages for different groups of people. First, what would you say to someone who's thinking about getting some kind of exotic pet? What kind of things should they be thinking about before they make that move?
Some of the things that when I'm talking to children, I talk to them about some of the sacrifices that they would have to make in their homes to have these. If you want a tortoise that eats grass all year, well, in the wintertime when they need grass, you're going to have to empty out all your popsicles and your frozen pizzas and your venison because you need space for your frozen grass. Other things is, how big is the animal going to get? How long is it going to live? And can you accommodate their diet? If any of those don't line up, don't even consider it, because you're just setting yourself up for failure and the animal up for failure. Definitely talking to and try volunteering places, because volunteering someplace might get you to see what it's actually like. And we absolutely welcome people to, you know, come meet our foxes. If you think you want to get a fox, come clean with us for a day. See what it's really smelling like. See what they're really like. See what they do to the yard. Because if you see that and you think, well, I don't want my house smelling like this, it smells like a skunk. Absolutely. You know, and maybe that'll get people to reconsider. So we work with interns, volunteers. And then once we get back to the general Green Bay area again, we will be opening it up for employment as well.
And finally, for someone who already has that exotic pet and realizes they can't meet its needs anymore, what would you say to them?
There are so many places. Absolutely, please do not release. Not only will the animal likely die, but if it doesn't and becomes invasive, or if it hurts somebody, that was all something that you could have avoided. When you go to surrender an animal someplace, you know, it's for the most part, you know, depending on what group you go to, non-judgmental. We want to be there. We're there because we want to help. We're not there to sit and judge you and point fingers and yell at you. We're there to educate. So even in a bad situation, when we can take that and turn it into a learning experience, not only for them but for everybody, that's actually a positive thing that came out of that then.
Jamie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jamie Kozlowski, founder and director of the Kingdom Animalia Exotic Animal Rescue. She joined us from our studio in Green Bay. We talked to her about people keeping wild or exotic animals as pets and what can happen if those owners release those pets in the wild.